Yeah, we're past that early part of our career where you're just kind of growing. Let's just go, momentum, go. Like we've had a couple of stumbles, which makes you go, whoa, hold on a second. Can't take everything for granted. You've got to sometimes be careful.
If you believe it's good for you, then take the leap and push on through. A little risk, a great reward. We change ourselves to change the world. With fire inside, in search of hope. Remember this, you're not alone. So stand with us and beat the drum.
Today on the podcast, we speak to the amazing Client Liaison. Their latest album has actually just come out. It's called Divine Intervention. Fortunately, we didn't get to speak to Harvey, but Monty and I did have a bonding experience over our love of India. We speak about his places to shop and his amazing quirky style. I'm not sure if you guys have been listening to that new album, Divine Intervention, but House of Holly is literally stalking me. Every single place that I go, every playlist that I turn on to, that song is stalking me, and it's such a banger. It's so fun. I can't wait to see the guys live sometime, hopefully in the near future, and watch that live side stage myself. Hey Monty, it's good to see you.
Hey Bianca.
I don't even know if we've met. Like, I know obviously Harvey from, I don't even know the first time that we met, but I'm not sure if we've met. We haven't, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I get used to responding to people, and it could be taken either way. Like, hey, great to see you again. Or, hey, we've never met. Who are you?
Yeah, I totally feel it. I know I did an event with you and Harvey at Splendor a million years ago for Kills. Do you remember that pre-party?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that maybe that's when I met Harvey, but I don't remember meeting you. So, yeah. Well, it's nice to put the voice and the face together as a whole.
Nice.
Okay, so we're going to start just the podcast with a little bit of an icebreaker.
Yep.
Have you got your phone handy?
Yep.
What is the last song that you've played on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever you obviously use?
Oh, I literally just had to – I just finished singing along to All My Life by Casey and JoJo.
Oh, love that.
All my life. Yeah.
Great song. I was not expecting that. I thought maybe – you've got a child, right?
Yes.
I was expecting maybe some like kids song, Baby Shark or something. Yeah. So tell me, what's the backstory with you guys, like with you and Harvey? How, like, where did the 80s vibe come from? Where the fuck do you shop? like, what is the backstory there?
So the 80s vibe, I guess that's just a shared, you know, interest. Like, we both have varied music taste, and that is we've found common ground there.
Yeah.
Kind of 80s like synthesized electro and 90s dance music, house music. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a big fan of Prince for many years, and Harvey grew up following bands around Melbourne, like Cut Copy and the Midnight Juggernauts, and there's just kind of like a merging of shared interests. But we met each other at school. I was friends with his brother, Geordie, who plays guitar in our band.
Yeah.
And Harvey was a few years below me, and we just started making music together.
So good. And then, like, where are you shopping? Like, I'm mesmerized by the outfits, like, I have to say.
Today?
No, like, just in general, like, okay, all your outfits. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, so I've always enjoyed collecting clothes. I like going to op shops, vintage stores. I like getting clothes made, especially when I'm overseas at tailors in Asia. Collecting things online. We work with stylists. We get things made, and we, you know, archive it all, and we go through it and reinvent it and just have a lot of fun, really.
Oh, it's so good. Like, coming from, like, a girl that cares about the outfits, like, you guys just put the icing on the cake with that. Like, the matching, like, it's that cute. I had to ask, because I'm like, fuck, these guys just always look fucking cool. Like, there's got to be a way, like, what they're doing.
Well, you listen with your eyes first.
Yeah.
So
true.
Yeah, like, it's always been really important to us.
Yeah.
We call it the multi-sensory experience. You know, we want to hit people visually. We want to hit them with the music. We want to hit them with the performance, video. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, epic. Yeah, I have to say that you guys do that really well. I watched you on, I can't remember what it was called, but you know the Splendor that we obviously had this year, how it was like the digital, was it Splendor RV?
Splendor or XR.
XR, yeah. I felt like you guys were probably the best because it was just like every touch point was just there. Like it was so good, so good.
Thank you.
So tell me, with Client Liaison, like, has there been a moment in time, I guess, that you have gone like a boss moment, you know what I mean? Like a moment that you're just like, shit, how the fuck did we get here? This is amazing. Or has there been a few?
Yeah. I mean, like we work so hard and we take it so seriously.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, the crowd's cheering and we're on our way to the next show, you know. We're on our way to the next thing often. So we don't smell the roses that often. It's always one foot in front of the other. And we haven't had like a massive hit, you know. It's not like massive surprise. It's always been like, let's put in the hard work. Our next goal is to like, let's try and get played on Triple J or whatever. So, but yeah, there definitely has been those moments getting played on radio. Our first festival at Golden Plains in, it was like 2012 or 13, maybe 2013. That was like, wow, there's a sea of people and this is where we belong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really important. Playing Splendor in the Grass at Tina Arena, that was our biggest show.
You know? Oh, yeah. That was the year, right?
It was just like we were playing Sunset, so we got to see all the crowd and then it morphed into the night and 17,000 people there, and like we just had them for the entire show. Most shows have their slight lull that then picks up, but this just kept getting more and more charged. So that was a special moment.
So good.
Yeah. But you know, the special moments in writing songs as well, or putting together an outfit.
Yeah, for sure. What is like your creative process with writing songs? Like, I feel like you guys, I don't know, it is a journey. Like, you really do touch all of those points that, you know, that you've mentioned, like there's got to be some sort of like creative genius behind it.
Oh, not really. I mean, I'm quite into like reading about creative people and musicians. I enjoy biographies and reading a book about habits right now. And like, it all just comes down to like putting in the work and, you know, it's a lot easier if you're having fun and if you're part of a community. And, you know, setting deadlines, and often for us it's the shows that are the deadlines to get the work finished.
Mm-hmm.
But on our recent album we collaborated a lot and we found that really rewarding.
Congrats on that album.
Thanks. It was just nice having a third party in the room to keep us going, just keep moving and bring new ideas to the table. But generally I write a lot of lyrics. And Harvey makes a lot of beats. We bring them together. But we've done, you know, on this album we wrote some songs on the piano first, written with people over Zoom, doing the beat first, doing the melody first, doing it at halftime and then re-recording the vocals, so many different ways.
Yeah. Harvey, is he still doing that beach mobile club or whatever it is?
Yeah. I mean, that was something he did last summer. Yeah. But, you know, there hasn't been many shows, so.
Yeah, well, you guys are back in that bloody lockdown. Well, not for long.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, and I'm sure he'll do that again over summer. He loves DJing. And I never really DJed growing up, and so I found it quite scary. I found it scarier than performing, but I now love it. Like, it's a great art form. It's really fun.
Yeah, I'm coming down to Melbourne for summer again because I work for the Love. So I'm going to come back down to Melbourne for the summer period, obviously, for work. And I'm hoping that I can catch one of these mobile beach parties because they look like a bloody hell of a time. I just love the fact that you can just have the decks on these rocks and just be having like an absolute party. And Harvey said that the sound – quality is actually quite strong.
Yeah, so, he's set up, like, he's got full battery operated and so set up on a clifftop, and, you know, he loves water and like summer, and yeah, it's a good, great vibe. Can't wait.
I'm actually frothing for it. And then tell me, have you had like a moment in time, like in your past, that I guess that's been not bad in like a negative way, like bad in like a beneficial way, like you've almost learnt from it, you'll never do it again?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Have you had a few?
Yeah. You know, it's been an intense 4 years to get this album done, really. It took longer than expected. We had financial troubles. We changed management. All kinds of, you know, there's creative struggles as well.
Yeah.
We're past that early part of our career where you're just kind of growing, let's just go, momentum, go. Like, we've had a couple of stumbles, which makes you go, whoa, hold on a second, can't take everything for granted. And you've got to sometimes be careful.
Mm-hmm. And then when you've gone on the road, like, obviously you guys have toured a fair bit, right?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm not sure internationally, but I know that I've seen you multiple times, once in Melbourne, once at Splendour. And then I feel like I want to say a Falls as well. Did you play Falls?
Yeah, probably multiple times. Yeah, like we've always said yes to shows. Like,
yeah.
Important for our process. But and we've done Europe and the States, Europe a bunch of times and the States a couple of times.
Have you got a like a secret when it comes to like remaining balanced when on the road? Like, obviously routine for me is key. Like I thrive on routine as much as I can, but also it's very, very hard. I know, like, when I've been on the road, it's really hard to stay balanced. But do you have like a secret? What do you guys do?
That's a good question. I mean, generally it's easier when you love the work. And that's more the case at the start of a tour when we're like, after every show, we like to, we film every show and then we'll watch it. I'll watch it on the plane or put it on the TV backstage, put it on in a hotel, and all the band and the crew watch it. And we take notes on all the lighting, you know, the musicianship, where our placements on stage and all that kind of thing. And that's really rewarding because you're constantly trying to make each show better.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the tour, we're usually not looking at that anymore. And, you know, it can become grueling, but if you're going to places that are fun, it's really nice. So if you get to get out of town, which is sometimes the case, or if you're in somewhere like Europe, it's just so much fun because we're like exploring food and venues and trying to see friends and things like that.
Yeah. And behind the scenes, like when you guys aren't performing or you're not recording or doing anything like that, do you have any like weird, like who are you guys and do you have any weird hobbies? I know Harvey's like just all about his little dog Trudy.
Yeah.
And loves that running around the tan. Do you guys have any weird other like weird hobbies or?
We love skiing.
Skiing.
I like skiing and Harvey snowboards. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can check out our clip Feed the Rhythm, which is set in Mount Buller where we're all skiing. But, I mean, I like running and, I mean, like my work is my life, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's so much to do between riding and touring and clothing and video. Yeah, it's kind of pretty never ending. But I love cooking for people as well. I love hosting parties.
So if music died tomorrow, you wouldn't have a backup plan? Like you wouldn't know what to do? What do you reckon you'd have something?
Oh, yeah. I could just indulge in making film. Like any kind of video would be really nice. Fashion.
Maybe you guys could start a fashion label or something. I could fully see that.
We've done two lines. We've done a full fashion label. It's called Client Liaison Deluxe Line. So we launched it in 2016. We did a small capsule, like a beach range.
Yeah.
Like swimwear. Legionnaires caps and bum bags and shorts and t-shirts. And then in 2018 we launched a full massive range at Sydney Fashion Week.
Oh, amazing. Actually, no, I do remember that.
Yep.
I do remember that was like 2000, when did, what, 18?
2018.
Because I think we did – I used to work for Edwards & Co. back then, like a hair chain, and we did a lot of different hair. And we did – I can't remember – McGraw, which was like – it's normally on the Monday show. I feel like – did you guys go – were you on a Monday?
I can't remember. We were at the boat –
Carriage Works.
No, we weren't at Carriage Works. We were off-site. We had our own site on the
– Harbour.
Yeah, on the harbour, yeah.
Yeah, down at – Oh, where's that dance school? Underneath the actual bridge, but to the left rather than to the right?
Yes, across from the Opera House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the boating dock where the ferries come in. Not the ferries, the cruise ships.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of what that is called, but they used to have – that's actually where Fashion Week used to be.
Okay.
When I was studying fashion, that was where Fashion Week was, and then it obviously outgrew and had to move to Carriage Works, but yeah. So do you have like a – like how do you guys get out of like a sticky situation? Has there ever been a sticky situation on the road or like just in general, I guess, that you've had to maneuver your way out of?
A sticky situation.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, like maybe you've – I don't know, like – what's it? I mean, okay, so to put it into an example, we spoke to Bootleg Rascal guys and they've had a few sticky situations on the road where they're like have forgotten to get on a flight or some of the bands got on the flight and the other band didn't and they had to like work out what the fuck they were going to do.
Well, we often have troubles when traveling with luggage because we, as well as our costumes and instruments, we usually bring staging, which for a while involved giant water coolers. And a reception desk. And so we'd take this all around Europe and Australia and then every now and then you'd get snagged with the excess baggage fee.
Yeah.
And so we've got so many tricks. Like if you need tips on getting baggage through, the foot underneath the scales,
Scuffle
foot to lift the scales or...
I think I've done that before.
Yeah, or we'll take it to oversize and then just before you put it on oversize, you stuff a couple more items in. Every trick in the book, like
that's
the jacket is full of clothes and shoes and then as soon as you get through security, you pull out a bag from the jacket and you've just got an extra piece of luggage on carry-on. Yeah, so... That's some of our most fun tricks. But,
a lot of snags
on the baggage.
Love that. And do you have, like, a story from tour that stands out to you?
Oh, God. You'd probably
have a few.
It's quite disheartening when you miss your flight. So once we missed our flight in Germany – and our manager said, it's okay, we'll just book another one. We've got to get to the show in Paris. And he booked one and then we went up to the desk and it was so expensive. And then they said, oh, no, you booked it for tomorrow. We're like, oh, God. Then he booked it again. But we got there. I don't know. Like that's the thing is we always get there. You always figure it out. But it's like at the time it's very disheartening, especially when you haven't seen daylight and no good food and you miss home.
I think, because you miss food, like normal food. You're trying to like just order something that looks normal but you have no idea. You miss like seeing like English on signs.
Yeah. I mean, when I left school, I went to India a lot. India and Burma and Cuba and I'd love traveling to like, you know, ride out their places. So, you know, once I'd spent, you know, 16 hours on a metal seat in India and it's just like on a bus that just wasn't moving. It's just stuck because there were floods on the roads in the middle of nowhere. And
Monsoon season.
Yeah.
What's your favorite place in India? I've gone through so much of India as well.
Oh, great. I love the variety because it's so many countries. Like, my thing to do in India is I go straight to a tailor and I go to the fabric market and take the fabric to a tailor and I get stuck right into like getting clothes made and then I always try to go somewhere new. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my favorites is probably Kashmir.
Yeah.
I went skiing there. That was really cool.
Have you been to Varanasi?
Oh, that's my favorite. I love Varanasi.
Same.
Yeah.
That is my ultimate favorite place. I felt like it was this like spiritual awakening. Like I just honestly was obsessed with it. And Udaipur. Udaipur was like heaven.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Udaipur. I love Varanasi. I've been there a few times. I swam in the Ganges.
Yeah.
Did you go into the Ganges?
I went to the Ganges. I actually stayed in a palace like on the actual water where you could see where they were cremating. You know how they cremate the bodies?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, I was not prepared for that. Like I knew that that's what they did, but then when I got there, I was just like, whoa, this is very full on. Like the energy is just, I don't know, like I loved it. I wanted to stay there the whole time. Like it was dead set my favorite. I just felt I'm a bit of a spiritual girl, so I felt really calm there. But at the same time, I could feel like essence, like people. I could feel the busyness. I could feel the chaos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, it's definitely a special place. It's got a very unique feeling. It's like crumbling into the river.
Yeah,
ancient city and all these customs that, you know, it's just centered around these religious customs. And it's, yeah, I love that place.
Yeah, it's really peaceful but chaotic. It's hard to explain, but yeah, it's beautiful. It's literally, my girlfriend actually lives in Jaipur, so I was actually going over there a fair bit to see her and see her husband. It's fucking cool. I can't wait to get back there.
I have a friend who lives in Jaipur.
Really?
Yeah, he's a jeweler there.
She has a jewelry label.
Oh my God, what's her name?
Samantha Lowe.
Samantha Lowe. Well, my friend's name is Alexander Wilson.
Okay.
They would know each other.
Have to. She bought a hotel over there. She sold it just before COVID, but she had a hotel over there, which had a nightclub in it, like everything.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Is she still there now?
She actually just came back because she fell pregnant with her husband. So they came back to have the baby here just because of COVID and everything
good
like
idea.
That.
Yeah.
But they'll probably go back when life is a little bit more normal.
Okay.
But yeah, they've got a house over there. Yeah, it's so good. They're in Jaipur. So I can't wait. Can't wait for the borders to open and go back.
Yeah, totally.
And do you guys have a tour coming up or anything?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's quite hard to book shows in indoor venues. The restrictions are pretty chaotic. But we have a lot of festivals coming up and we will tour next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a matter of when.
Yeah. So you are on festivals for summer. That's epic.
Yeah, there are festivals that are coming up, so that's good. Yeah. And it's easier to plan outdoor shows right now. I mean,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But, we're just still waiting. It's like forever waiting. You know, things open up but music's – second last to open up.
Yeah, I know. We're the first to get shut down and the last to come back.
Yeah.
But always the first to put their hands in the pockets and help when Australia needs it, which is a bit of a shame. And have you got three male, icons in the music world, like in terms of like people that inspire you that you can think of, that you can share?
Living or dead?
Both.
Well, I'd have to say Prince. Because he really ignited my
You mentioned that
my passion for music.
Yeah.
Three male. I mean, Michael Hutchence.
Yeah.
His swagger is second to none, and Freddie Mercury.
All dead.
Yeah, I like old music.
So fuck, marry, kill. They're all dead. Yeah. I was going to say, what would your fuck, marry, kill be with those three men? But I'm guessing they're all dead. I mean, I guess we could just hypothetically.
Okay, so I have to pick one to fuck. I don't like that word, but one to marry and one to kill. Okay. I'd have to fuck Michael Hutchence.
100%. He's so good looking. He was.
And both Freddie and Prince would be pretty difficult to marry because I'd marry Freddie. He's more fun.
Yeah.
And kill Prince.
Yeah. Freddie, I would marry Freddie for sure. He's amazing. Mm. But, yeah, it would be an interesting ride, that's fucking for sure. Mm. Jesus. Well, thanks so much, Monty. I really appreciate it. I'm sad that I didn't get to see Harvey's little face, but I'll see you guys in Melbourne soon, I'm sure.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, see you, Bianca. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will link the artist's Instagram and Spotify in our show notes. Please like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube to stay up to date with your favorite artists. We'll see you next week, Side Stage.